Open to Ecclesiastes, probably I think chapter 2 is where we'll begin. We got a few verses we'll go over in Ecclesiastes. But as you're turning there, this is Gods at War. This is our study of idols that battle for our hearts. And so this is part 3. 3 weeks already. Man, this will be another one of those. 37, part 37. No, this will only be about 9 or 10. We'll go into a new study for the summer months with our Awana folks. We talk about idols. These are things that take our focus away from God. Idolatry. Things aren't bad within themselves, we said. But it's how you use them or how you allow them to ruin your life that they become immoral or they become some type of idolatry. And we said before, we talked about hedonism. Hedonism is simply this, comes from the Greek word hedonos, and it means pleasure. It is the pursuit of pleasure, simply put. Last week, we said that we were getting into the temple of pleasure. Talked about food, sex, and entertainment. I think I'm going to skip sex because this would probably be with people who are before marriage. And then I guess the other thing would probably be people with porn addictions. And I know those are very serious things. But a lot of the things that we're talking about here as far as God's at war for our heart are things that we do in our everyday lives that take us away. I think some of those are special. Anyway, I think I'm going to skip that one for the moment. But tonight I want to talk about forms of entertainment, and next Sunday we'll get into cell phone. I think cell phone has a special entertainment form within itself, and so tonight we're going to talk about the other forms of entertainment. So, how many of you heard this scenario? Where people wake up every Sunday and Wednesday, and they're just like, man, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, get up. We've got to get ready for church, and we've got to get to church. We've got to get the best parking spot, and we've got to get in and get the best seat in the house. And then people come in, and they're enjoying themselves in church, and they're looking at their watch after 2 hours, and they're like, man, I hope this service goes on another 2 hours. This is going to be awesome. How many of you have seen those, right? No? None of you? Anybody been encouraged like that? Anybody been in a service lasting 4 hours? Well, tonight's going to be your first. I'm just kidding. After an hour, everybody's going to get up and walk out. I know it, so don't worry. But here's the idea. We laugh at that, right? Nobody gets up early on Sunday. Matter of fact, most people barely make it into service. Some of them don't even show up during the praise and worship. They just kind of barely come in for the message and then out at the invitation. And so you don't see those people get up. But you take that scenario, take that same scenario, and you put that in a sporting event. Changes the perspective, doesn't it? We got to get up there because I'm not going to be parking 50 miles away from the stadium. I'm going to get as close as I can. We got to get in the best seat in the house. We got to get in there as fast as we can, get away from the crowds. We got to do this. Spare no expense. Man, if this goes on for 3 more hours, I'm having fun. I don't care. Let's keep going. So you don't do that for church, but we do stuff like that for entertainment. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy how we do stuff like that? Baseball games, football games, basketball games, soccer games. Doesn't matter, college, professional, whatever. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to a game. There's nothing wrong with skipping church on Sunday to go to a game. That's a funny story. Scott Jones, God rest his soul, went home to be with the Lord. He used to come in the summer toward the end. On just about every Sunday, and he would make coffee, he would make sure that everything was on, all the lights were on, everything was ready to go, and then he would go, now, Pastor, had that deep voice, man, it was that real, real bass, and he'd go, now, Pastor, I am a Browns fan, and I have season tickets, and it's all right, Scott, you don't have to explain yourself to me. And he would leave after making coffee and stuff Sunday. But this is Sunday morning, man, like 8 o'clock, 8:15. So I'm usually here about 7:45 and, you know, getting stuff ready. He'd come in, he'd make coffee and so forth, and then he'd do that, and then he'd leave. And he's like, well, I got to go. We got to get up there. I would just laugh. But listen, like I said, there's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with skipping a Sunday. That man would come in on Wednesday night, and he would be like, Pastor, I got questions for you. And he's doing his Bible study throughout the week, and he's hammering the scriptures, and he's like, I've got questions, and I need you to answer these for me. So, man, that dude's growing. I don't care if he's skipping church because he's going to a Browns game. It's not that big of a deal. We make it that big of a deal. And so when we, I guess now the biggest thing is gambling on sports. How many of you gamble on sports? They make it easy now with FanDuel and all the other things and the stuff and the, I don't know any of those things. I know people that do. I mean, it's funny because they'll give you free money. They'll be like, you sign up for ours and we'll give you $25 betting money. And they'll be like, oh, cool. Oh, hey, I won. Oh, I got a couple more. It'll suck you in. Now, we've talked about this before. We went through Galatians. We're eliminating legalism. Gambling, there's nothing wrong with gambling within itself, right? Right? Okay. It's how you allow it to affect you, your finances, your family, your all of those different things. I don't think the little scratch-off tickets, there's anything wrong with them, right? People put them in Christmas stockings and all that stuff, just harmless. Matter of fact, I'm not going to lie to you, I think I bought one a month or so ago. I just bought a couple of them. One is a $5 one, a couple dollar ones. And I think I won like 10 bucks. It's like, man, spent $7, won 10. There you go, no problem. I think they're still sitting there, haven't even turned them in, don't care. It's just, it's for fun. It's enjoyment. It's woohoo. But when does those things become an idol? When does sports become an idol? When does that gambling become an idol? When does it become that?
When it's more important than the Lord. You need to add the Lord.
Okay, how so? Well, yeah, you're not paying your bills. Yeah, you're gambling, you're definitely. Now, what if your job is gambling? I know a lot of people who are gamblers and that's their job. No, just a gambler. Because if that is his sole job is gambling, he can write off all of his losses and get money back, a tax return. I knew a guy that's all he did was gamble. And that's how he made his living. He didn't have a job or anything. Huh? Yeah, professional poker players. Texas Hold'em, all those people, sure. So you have to understand that some things, and we're going to talk about too, it'd be like playing video games. Oh, well, that'll take your time away. But yeah, but some people actually do that as a job. That's what I want. I want a job where I just play video games all day. No, I don't. I don't. Honestly, I don't. So the whole point here is you have to be careful how you allow something to redirect your life. Take your focus away from the Lord. Take it away from your family. Take your finances away from certain things. What about celebrities? Hollywood. Here's one that really amazed me. So last year in 2022 at the Arnold Classic, this it was a gentleman who, I forget what magazine he was writing for, and he asked me, he said, there's a big crowd of people around these people. And he was like, who is that? And I go, oh, never heard of him. So he's trying to get in to see, so he'd get a picture and get an interview and stuff like that. And so he got in and asked somebody, he was like, hey, who is that up there? And it was like, this is, you know, John Doe. And he's like, who's that? And the kid honestly turned around and goes, you don't know who that is? Oh my gosh, he's the biggest TikTok sensation ever. And I'm like, oh, well, that's the problem right there, because I don't get on that crap, so I don't know who that guy is. So here's a famous guy, and everybody's flocking to him, and he's a TikToker, and I don't even know who this guy is. And the magazine guy goes like, well, man, I'm going to somebody else, because I have no clue who these people are. I can't write about somebody I don't know. And I thought, wow. And then I thought about all these people that are encircled around him. Like, oh, wow, this is great. Okay. It's fun. I mean, we've met Arnold before. I've shook his hand. I met Lou Ferrigno. I've met Sylvester Stallone, Jose Canseco. Man, years ago, I've been doing that for probably 18 years, about 18 years, almost 20 years. It's just fun. It's exciting. Get away from stuff. And I've met so many celebrities and people and stuff, but it's not my life. It doesn't take me away from anything. Whether I see it or I don't, it's not a big deal. But, well, let's talk about, video games. That's a huge one. Video games are not wrong within themselves. And like I said, we'll have to separate this because cell phones can, man, they have all the stuff on cell phones. Every entertainment you can have is right there. So we'll talk about that next week when we get into that and how to combat this god of entertainment. But for the most part, most people just play for fun, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when kids don't get their homework done, when they don't do their chores, when I remember as a kid, man, when I mean Atari come out and you're playing Pitfall and one button, one joystick, and now you got these things that's got like 15 buttons on it and three sticks, and you're like, what the heck is this garbage, man? Whatever happened to the simple stuff? But I just remember just playing for hours. Maybe just Pitfall and Pole Position and these old. We had Pong. How many had Pong? And that's all you did is just sit there and be like, I'm watching a little ball on TV. Whoa, that is so entertaining, man. That is so cool. But you'd be surprised at how things take your mind and focus off of stuff. And as I said before, when we talk about people who, that's actually their job, okay, you make money on it, but you really don't need to be sitting there playing video games 24/7, even if you do have a job, right? I mean, most of us work 8 to 10 hours a day, right? 5 days a week, boom, got the weekends off, hopefully. But yeah, these people, man, they do it nonstop. They have to, because they got to keep up with it. They got to make sure that they're beaten, whatever. It's funny. Social media platforms are a huge entertainment. It can also be good. I told you to get on Facebook to look up Arnie and Sweet Rose Swan. It's a good way to keep up with missionaries, but it's also a good way to distract you very quickly. Man, you have to be disciplined. And this is the thing that we need to teach our children. You need to be disciplined. Because, man, that'll suck you out. That'll suck you in real quick. It's like the undertow. Anybody who got sucked into an undertow and got drug out into, oh, man, you're gone. Don't even know it. Way out there and can't get back. John Piper said this. This is awesome. He said, and we'll talk about this next week, but he said, one of the greatest uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not because of a lack of time. Stop and think about that one. That's going to be something to prove. Because you can go onto your cell phone and you can look it up how much time you are on all that stuff. I mean, they do it now where they tell you your weekly, what you're looking at, what's using up your most battery use and all that stuff. It's amazing. Teenagers between 13 and 18 are using their cell phones on social media platforms 8 to 12 hours a day. Can you imagine that? 8 to 12 hours a day. What about TV? TV's a big one. Now listen to this. I thought this was kind of cool. So Kyle Eidelman in his book, he was talking about his buddy who just come back from India. And he had all some, you know, gifts and stuff from the people in India. And he was showing Kyle all his stuff. And he said in his family room, he had this big picture that they had given him and all these little, you know, figurines and stuff. And he had them all sitting right there on the table and all the cloths and the certain stuff and things. And he said every chair is pointed and facing the picture and all these little idols. And he goes, man, this guy has really made like an idolatrous worship. Everybody sitting down is going to be facing that, worshiping this. And he said he went home And he sat in his chair and he turned on the TV to look around in his living room, and every one of the chairs are facing the TV. And he goes, oh, I wonder if that's an idol. There's a difference between being an idol and something, watching TV and worshiping it. How's that? There's a difference between watching and worshiping. And I think we ought to be careful to discipline ourselves to know the difference when that comes about. The average American family today watches approximately 4.5 hours of TV per day. 4.5 hours. So if you get home at 5 o'clock, that's 9:30. Almost ready for bedtime. And that's all you're doing is watching TV. Are you watching it? Are you worshiping it? There's a huge difference. Now, when you're at work, or whenever you worked, wherever you worked, let me ask you this question. What do people talk about the most? What do they talk about? Besides that one, that's probably the biggest one. Everybody complains about their job. They hate their boss. They hate their coworkers. But what do they talk about mostly? That's it. What they saw on TV, especially in the wintertime, football, summertime, baseball, basketball in between. Just got done with March Madness. Had to see all that. Everybody posting their garbage on social media about March Madness and which team they want to win and all this stuff. And you're like, wow, that's great. I haven't seen you in church in 3 months, but boy, I'm glad you're loving that stuff. I tell you the truth, I have no idea. I have no idea. Yes. Really, Doug? That's funny. So, let me ask you this question. Is entertainment good or bad?
It's good in moderation.
Okay. Why is it good? Man after my own heart right there.
So I don't think that was a question. Yeah. I'm not saying everyone has an opinion about it, but I do have classmates that I've kept in touch with that I have not seen in years that I use it for.
Yeah.
I have art pages I'm connected with on social media. As far as TV is concerned, we decided to set this to him. We only watch an hour a night. That's all we watch.
It can bring you joy.
Right.
It can bring you joy.
Okay. So let me just say it this way. God created entertainment for our enjoyment. Not just our enjoyment. I mean, this is animals enjoy entertainment. Cats. They love that. Why does a dog bring a stick or a ball back to you? He wants you to throw it again. He wants to be entertained. They enjoy it. So God created entertainment as something that was good. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, God who richly provides us with what?
Everything.
What includes everything? I mean, and actually in this context, he's talking about money. So money, we're allowed to enjoy money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy money, right? What's that old country song? But money can buy me a truck. Buy me a boat and a truck to pull it and all that stuff and the camper and the, oh yeah, man, money can buy that stuff. But don't let the entertainment take you away from your focus. Now, let me give you entertainment. When you were a kid, did you love to go outside and play in the snow? I loved the sled ride, man. That was fun. Until I got older and then I broke a rib when I come off of the ramp. And, oh, yeah, then I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that no more. But, yeah, why would God create snow to be so much fun if entertainment was not for us? So if you're in Ecclesiastes 2:1, the greatest unwise wise guy of all time in history took it upon himself, as he says in one of the passages, I sought my heart to know folly and wisdom. Well, why would you want to know folly? So here's Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2, look at verse 1. He says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure, enjoy yourself. He's like, okay, I'm going to see what the hubbub is on all this stuff. I'm going to find out what's good and what's not good. And you should read the book of Ecclesiastes. It has a lot of good information in it. Because Solomon sought his heart to do whatever he wanted in this world. Matter of fact, you go through some of them like this. He had an enormous amount of wealth. He was the wealthiest man alive at the time. And he didn't spare any expense finding out what was good in his search for pleasure. He starts out with laughter. I don't know if he was trying to find Comedy Central or something or whatever, but he tried to see how... And laughter is good. I mean, laughter does good like a medicine, he says in Proverbs. But it was meaningless, he said. There's no lasting joy in it. And he moves on to the lifestyle of partying. He was like, I lived it up, man. Party hardy, Marty. He did whatever he wanted. Got drunk all the time. And he was like, man, this is useless. This is useless. Absolutely meaningless. Vanity, I think is what he says. It's empty. It's not fulfilling. And he goes on to do these building projects. Oh, I'm going to build stuff now. And he's got all these horse barns and houses and vineyards and parks and all that stuff. And he realized that this was useless too. It didn't fill the void that was left in his life. And then verse 8, Ecclesiastes 2, he says, I also gathered for myself silver and gold. And well, that's a Christmas song, isn't it? Silver and gold. And the treasures of kings and provinces, and I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, and the delight of the sons of men. Solomon brought in people from every nation around the world, food from every culture, and he brought in books of wisdom just to gain knowledge. And he proclaimed that everything was utterly meaningless. It didn't have a good purpose. And speaking of meanings, you know me, would love to talk about the word entertainment and the origins of things. That's similar to the word amusement. Entertainment would be close to amusement. Now, the word amusement comes from Greek pagan religion, in all honesty. Its origins is from the ancient Greek world, and it's from the word muse. And muses in pagan religion were Greek goddesses, and they were to inspire people to do great writings or science or some type of great achievement. So the muses would inspire people to do good things. They were considered gods of reflection, gods or goddesses of reflection. And if you put an A in front of that word, it changes the word muse. So if you say a muse, it makes that meaning a little different. And the A gives it the idea of something that's lacking. And so amusement would hold the idea that it's a lack of inspiration or a lack of reflection. So amusement is a way that you don't have to think. That's why we love it, right? When you go to work, you have to think and you have to work and you have to process and you have to do stuff. But when you're watching TV, you don't have to think at all. You're just amused. It's a lack of reflection. It's a lack of achievement. It's just you sitting there being amused. You're just absorbing it. And that's why it can suck you away. Sometimes we need that stuff. Sometimes you need those getaways, those useless reflection things just to have some amusement. You got to have that to get away every now and then. But don't make that your life's pleasure. That's what Solomon did. He was like, I made that my life's pleasure to seek all these things out. And he said it never worked. It never did anything for me. And so in the history of mankind, he said, you have never been so entertained and so less satisfied. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1. But listen to what he says in verse 4 through 8. He says, a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. He said, this generation comes, things just keep going. It just keeps going. The sun rises and the sun goes down, and it hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south, goes around to the north, and around it goes the wind, and all of its circuits, the wind returns. There it is. It just keeps going. He says, all the streams run into the sea, but the sea is never full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. Isn't that funny? Mississippi River goes right down into the ocean, and the ocean's never full. That's kind of funny for the global warmest people. I was watching Waterworld the other day. It's kind of funny.
Like Kevin
Costner? Yeah.
Really?
That's only... Why is that funny?
It's an old movie, man.
Are you kidding me? That's an old movie. Yeah, man. I'm back into John Wayne and these. That's funny. Well, I only brought it up because. See. I only brought it up because at the very beginning of the movie, it said that because the polar ice caps had melted down, the whole world was now nothing but a ball of water, and there was no land. And that's the only reason I brought it up, because it reminded me of that. And Solomon says that all the rivers flow into the sea, and the sea is never full. It would be funny because, let me ask you a question. If you're a bank, and you're like, you got bad credit, I'm not giving you a loan, right? Isn't that how they do that? They got to make sure that you're going to have something that they're going to have. Okay, so if you have beachfront property, and global warming is a true, real thing, and in 10 years, it's going to be flooded, why would you give somebody a loan for that property? Right? So, yeah, like in Florida, they won't insure a lot of that stuff. And like flood and act of God stuff is like $6,000 a month. And you're like, well, that's all right. I'll just pay cash for, whatever. It's crazy. But listen, he says the rivers flow in, the sea's not full to the place where the streams and they flow again. All things are full of weariness and man cannot utter it. Man's eyes are not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Enough is never enough. Isn't that what Rockefeller said? They asked him one time, how much money is enough? And he said, just one more dollar. Enough is never enough. And so that's where we need discipline. That's where we need to keep our focus on the Lord. Every now and then you need to get away. Jesus told the disciples to rest and do all those things. There's nothing wrong with some of that. C.S. Lewis said this. Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction to those desires exist. He said a baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. You're going to have a desire, and there is going to be something in the world to fill that desire. So if a baby is hungry, yeah, we have food. He said that ducklings want to swim, and we have such a thing as water. Something they can swim on. He goes on to say, if I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. He said, if none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove the universe is a fraud. Earthly pleasures weren't meant to satisfy, only point us to the real thing. And I pulled this from Mere Christianity in his book. He was a British guy, so he talks weird, but he said, God made us, God invented us as a man invents an engine. And he said, a car is made to run on petrol, that's his British stuff, gasoline or diesel, doesn't matter. He says, a car is made to run on petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. And he said, now God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel for our spirits were designed to burn, or the fuel that our spirits were designed to feed on. And we won't operate on nothing less. The whole idea, and that's what we talk about, It's okay to have entertainment. It's okay to have hobbies. We need those things. You need hobbies. You need things to get away and just not have to think, that muse, that lack of reflection. Just enjoy something, watching a show, going to a game, whatever. We need those from time to time. But understand that God created us to operate on Him. And you're not going to operate properly unless you have it. Unless He is the fuel which is driving you in everything that you do. Does that make sense? And Solomon, if you're in Ecclesiastes, we'll close with this. He closes in chapter 12, verse 11 through 14. He says this. His words are the wise. They're like goads. They're like nails. Firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there are no end, which study is the weariness of the flesh. Verse 13, and here's the end of the matter. He said, here's the conclusion of everything that I've done in my entire life. I have sought wisdom and folly and everything. And here's my conclusion. Here's the end of the matter. As all has been heard, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or bad. Fear God and keep His commandments. If you can enjoy entertainment, enjoy it. But don't make it something that takes your reflection away from God. You're designed to run on Him, and you won't run properly without Him.